That's it. Let's go home.
Wow. Wow.
Good stuff. God is awesome. I mean, I hope that's one of the things that you take away from seeing that. You just, I know sometimes living my little life and seeing what I usually see and hanging out where I hang out, universe doesn't seem that big, you know. Makes me seem kind of the center of things sometimes, but man, we're not. God's creation is so, so massive. You know, just thinking about his creation and the fact that Louis Giglio, there in the video, he's talking about billions of galaxies and billions of stars within each galaxy just in the known universe. And there could be billions of universes. There could be limitless. We have no idea. And when we talk about those numbers and we start considering God's creation, we can't begin to wrap our minds around it. The very sharpest, greatest of minds on earth, we talk about numbers that we kind of toss around with light years and billions and things. Our minds can't perceive the reality. We've just got that little symbol that we try to somehow comprehend something that's incomprehensible to us. God is awesome, and we are not. We're not. God is powerful beyond what we can imagine, and we're not. We're very weak. God is holy and perfect and majestic and righteous, and we are broken and sinful and messy. So is any of that a problem? Well, maybe. It might be. If you're talking about a relationship between people, because God is a person. God's not some just creative force that made things and checked out, or he's not just some kind of cosmic principle. God is a person. God is actually in three persons. But God is a being, and a being who actually wants to have a relationship with us. So obviously there's some differences. That's something you want to consider if you're going to have a relationship with somebody. Thinking in human terms, you know, what do we have in common? Do we have some things we can share, some things we enjoy together with God? Not a lot. We have a lot of differences. We have some things since we're made in his image, but sometimes when you have extreme differences in people trying to come into a relationship, that can be an issue. It can really create some problems for you. So how many of you have had flawless, perfect relationships with somebody? Is anybody? Yeah, I'm pretty sure if we had 150 people here tonight, we would have no hands up for perfect relationships. Oh, that wasn't your hand. Oh, no, that was just instructive. No, that was, yeah, that was just if you, that's how you would do it. Yeah, well, you're close, but. Think about how many people you know that you just, even in casual ways that you interact with at the store or workplace or, you know, family. I mean, we interact with hundreds. Those are all relationships, everybody that you in. And sometimes the relationship lasts for 15 seconds chatting in line, and you don't have time to work out all the imperfections and figure out how messy each other are. But if you spend enough time with people, no relationship is flawless that we have with people. That's pretty consistent. You know, all of us together, you think about over our lifetimes, collectively, it's probably like tens of thousands of relationships with all these different people, and zero out of tens of thousands of relationships have been flawless yet, have been perfect. That should tell us something. Well, one thing it might do, we might say, well, wow, people are really messy and flawed. They're imperfect, aren't they? Until you realize, well, the one consistent thing in all those relationships was you. That were flawless. You know, you've had these thousands of relationships over your lifetime, and you're the common denominator. You're imperfect, and so am I. I'm imperfect, and that's a problem. If I'm going to relate to a perfect, holy, righteous, awesome God, you know, when I think about human relationships, it can be tough sometimes when you first are getting to know somebody to be vulnerable. I think sometimes we're a little scared to share our imperfections with people. We don't necessarily on a, you know, if you remember back or forward or whatever, a first date or something for you, whenever that was, you don't necessarily say it, you know, hi, I'm James and here's all my baggage. You know, I don't know that that would be a good idea or a bad idea, but we just don't do that because we're afraid they might reject me. If I'm really completely honest and transparent and just lay everything out on the table, I might get rejected. And I don't like to be rejected. And you don't like to be rejected. In fact, I think we are scared to death of rejection. And that can be in your family. That can be in your job. That can be with your friends. That can be church. It can be a lot of context, but we are so motivated by the fear of people not liking us, the fear that somebody's going to reject us. And so a lot of times that results in really bad decision-making. I think about, in my life, some of my decisions, things that I've done, people I've hung out with that I should not have hung out with. You know, not that being accepted is bad. You know, that there's good things about being accepted, but you can be accepted by people who are horrible for you. You can be accepted by people who are really going to be a huge stumbling block for being who God wants you to be and lead you into a lot of activities that are destructive to you. And so we have to be careful. It's very dangerous to just act upon who's going to accept me and who's going to reject me. And there's times that we're so afraid of rejection that we even miss out on good relationships. There's times where somebody gets hurt in church. You know, Pastor so-and-so, I was going through this situation and my heart was breaking and I tried to meet with him and he's always too busy and he wouldn't meet with me and so now I'm never going to be part of a church family again, ever in my life. Because they didn't value me. They didn't, you know, in a sense, they rejected me by their actions of not making time for me and that I didn't matter enough. I was rejected. They didn't want to hear my mess, that I'm imperfect and that my life has pain and there's stuff I'm dealing with. And they check out of something that they need, which we all need, which is the body of Christ. But the truth is that there are no healthy relationships without honesty. If you can't get to a point to where you can just lay everything out and be completely honest with somebody, it can't really be the relationship that you want it to be if you can't be honest with somebody. And we need to be able to do that even if it means somebody's going to reject us, even if it means that maybe they can't handle the truth. We still need to be honest with each other. So what does that mean in light of us having a healthy relationship with God? Well, a healthy relationship with God always begins, from our part, with honesty, of us just coming clean with Him, of us being truthful with God. But we've got this problem of Him being perfect and righteous and holy, and we're sinful and messy. And that's a big hurdle, at least in our minds, because we're thinking, man, when I'm that real about the worst of me with people, that usually doesn't go very well. Sometimes that gets me rejected. You know, maybe if I'm honest with God, that's scary. Maybe God's not going to like me. Maybe God would reject me. But we have good news. Vulnerability in your relationship with God started with God. Being open and honest and taking a risk and being vulnerable, God already took the first step. And it wasn't like it was an easy thing for God. It wasn't like He sent you a text and said, hey, I kind of like you. Do you like me? Or that He sent you an email and said, I think you're interesting. Can we go get ice cream? You know, it wasn't that God did some easy thing that He could back away from if you rejected Him. God went all in Jesus Christ. He went all in to have a relationship with us. And He really laid everything out there knowing that we might reject Him. And God's all-in move toward you to have a relationship with you and me is really what Christianity is about. The message of Jesus of wanting this relationship with us is the opposite of religion. It's the opposite of religion. Religion says, listen, if you want to have this relationship with God, with deity, with whatever it is, here's what you need to do. Here's the list. Here's the sacraments, here's the ceremonies, here's the membership you need to have, here's your do's, here's your don'ts, and that's religion. But Christianity says God has made the first move toward you for God to be in a relationship with you because you were helpless. There's nothing you could do about your sinfulness. about the problem, the big elephant in the room between you and God of your sin. There's nothing that you could do about that problem. And so if you're going to have this relationship with God, you have to accept that He's made the initiative. He's made this first move. And that first move is that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus to be a payment for our sins, to stand in our place, to take all of our sin and death upon Himself and be crucified as a payment, as a sacrifice for us, for the sacrifice of everyone who would receive Him. And He did it before you did anything. He did it before you tried to be good. He did it before you were interested in Him at all. He did it before you understood anything about church life. He did it before you were born. He died for you before you did anything. And tonight, you know, as God brings us here, part of what Christ, I think, is reminding us each time that we, in a multitude of other times as well, but He's reminding us, He's saying, I'm interested in you. I want a relationship with you. I want to have a relationship with you. And He's saying, I'm right here. You know, He didn't go anywhere. And so if we don't have that relationship with Him, it's not because He's not with us. You know, Jesus is always putting His heart on the line that we could reject Him. We could receive it, or we could say, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to know you. But in Jesus Christ, God has drawn as close to us and been as vulnerable as He's ever going to be. He can't be any more vulnerable than He's already been. He can't come any closer to us. And we see from Scripture that God is making His intentions toward us very clear. He's saying, I love you. And if you don't believe that, take a look at what He did to save us. Take a look at what He did that we can be forgiven. So I'm going to look at several scriptures, reference several scriptures tonight, passages. But 1 John 4, 7 and 8, we have slides for these. You're welcome to look them up, but I'll probably go through these pretty quick. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God. Born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So let's go back to our human relationships for a second and our thinking. So anybody who's married up for a better marriage relationship, everybody, right? Or friendships, or different family relationships. I mean, we all want better relationships. And one of the ways that we would improve all of our relationships is we say, we like to have more love. It'd be a good thing in every relationship I have, if there was lasting love that I could count on there and be part of. And for that to happen, you really have to lay hold of what the Scripture says here, that everyone who loves, everyone who truly loves, not selfish human love, but actual lasting unconditional love that God has been born of God, has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Let's look at verse 9. This is how God showed us His love among us, or to us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. That we might live. He sent Jesus that we might live through Him. That is powerful, powerful love. That's not just some casual affection. It isn't like He's saying, yeah, I kind of like you. It isn't like God saying, yeah, I think you're cute. It is selfless and sacrificial. God's saying, listen, I love you so much that I'm going to this radical extreme to demonstrate that My Son is going to come and show you how much I love you. Continuing in verse 10, this is love, not that we loved God. And He's saying it didn't start with you. It didn't start with us. It didn't start with our flowery prayers. It didn't start with our sacraments. It didn't start with our tears to prove that God's touching our heart. It didn't start with us. But that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That is amazing. That's amazing. Because I read that and I think, why would he do that for me? You know, if I'm God and I'm looking for somebody to have a relationship with, you know, I think about maybe singles, you know, with online profiles and I don't know what you put as far as what you're looking for. Maybe has a sense of humor, loves the Lord, faithful, you know, handsome or pretty, or, you know, we've got all these criteria for what we think we're looking for. And I think, you know, for God to pick me, that he wants a relationship with me and with you. And then I think about what we're looking for in people and in life. And you think about God's qualifications for being in relationship with us. You talk about an awesome date, you know. I mean, God has zero baggage. He's the only person you're ever going to love who's got no baggage at all. He surpasses all of our standards. And God is saying, listen, I am God and I am everything you need. Everything you need. And he loves us with an everlasting love that's unconditional, that you can depend on. And God says, I love you so much that they hung my son on a cross for you, choosing to do that. That's how much I love you. How much more vulnerable could he be? How much more of a risk could he possibly take? And he does that understanding that, you know, God's saying, well, you can ignore me. You can pretend that I don't exist. You can pretend that I'm just some little religious part of your life. Or you can respond to me. You can respond to my love and you can say, God, you are what I'm looking for. You are exactly what I've needed my entire life, God. I just didn't know how awesome you are and how much I need you. And the sad thing is that there are millions of people that God is reaching out to. And you think about who he is. I mean, he's all-knowing, all-powerful, creator and king of the universe. He doesn't owe us anything. And he's laid himself out on the line for millions of people who are going to say, no thanks. I'm not interested in you. And I think God's just saying, yeah, well, okay. You know, I give you that option, but I want you to know I love you. I love you and I've got something better for you. And he's giving us a chance. God's giving us a chance to basically, here's the offer from God in the relationship. He's giving us a chance to give up sin and destruction and death and receive every good thing. Man, that's a good offer. You know, if I knew ahead of time that was a relationship offer, you know, if Kim and I, when we'd first met and she was able to say, I'm going to take all of your mess and all your brokenness and all your garbage and give you an awesome, beautiful life, that'd be a tempting, and I knew she could do that. That would be a tempting offer, right? Yeah, that's close to what's happened. You know, that's God's offer. God is saying, listen, I'm asking nothing of you but to give me your brokenness and your mess and your garbage, and I'm going to give you beauty for your ashes. I'm going to give you life in place of death. You're going to gain everything. A relationship is a two-way street, though, right? It's a two-way street, so it's risky for God to do this. I mean, can you imagine how scandalous this is? I mean, can you imagine a king, the king of all kings on a throne, reaching out to the lowest and dirtiest and unworthiest of all peasants and putting their heart on the line, knowing, publicly doing it, and everybody could see that, and that person can reject them and say, no thanks, I'm not interested in that. It is scandalous that in God's perfection and holiness that he would risk rejection from us, from broken, sinful, imperfect people, and yet out of love for us, out of his love for us. That's exactly what he does. He runs the risk of us saying no. And here's the really scary part in all that. Because we have free will, we run the risk of saying no. We could say no to that. I want to invite all of us tonight just to be really honest, especially with God. And there may be some of you here tonight who really don't have a real relationship with God. Maybe you have had some religion, maybe religion about Jesus in your life. And that's really one of the main reasons we're here tonight, is to come to know Christ. If you don't, is to begin to know Christ, and invite you to do that. Or you could be here tonight and you might say, well, you know, I have a relationship with him, but the relationship is, it's kind of dull, kind of stale. It's kind of been stagnant for a long time. Nothing's changed much. Maybe we're just, you know, we've got a relationship, but it's just not on the greatest terms right now, maybe. A relationship with Jesus is so much more than a set of intellectual beliefs about God. It is so much more than some doctrine or theology or memorized scripture verses. It's about a living, breathing, genuine, heart-to-heart relationship with God. And it's daily. It's daily. And there are no religious practices that can be a substitute for that. There's no relationship that your family members can have on your behalf that's a substitute for that. There's no amount of teaching that you can hear and memorize. Doesn't matter how well you sing on key. If you do not have that genuine heart-to-heart relationship with God, there, and those are good things. You know, church membership or participation, that's wonderful. God wants that for us. Doesn't save you. If you don't have a personal heart-to-heart relationship with God, there is no substitute. Jesus Christ loves you. And his love, his offer of love, was costly for him, but it's free for you and me. And he loves you completely. There is no garbage that you've pushed down deep enough that he doesn't know about it. There's no mess that's hidden from him. There's nothing about you that's an obstacle here for him. And the reality is that out of the millions or however many people who have a relationship with him, none of them deserve it. I don't. None of us deserve it. But we know that if we're honest with him, he isn't going to reject us. He's going to receive us. He responds to our honesty about our mess. He doesn't reject us because of it. He accepts us because we're honest. You know, the Bible tells us that while we were in our sin, Christ died for us. While we were opposed to God, Christ died for us. And this love of God, it's so different than any human type of love. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Now, I don't know about you guys, but I came to a place in my life where the truth of that just hit me like a building had come down on me. You know, and I just got on my knees and I cried out and just said, "God, I can hardly believe that you love me like that." And I haven't cleaned myself up yet. I haven't jumped through any religious hoops. I haven't even been baptized yet. How can you love me? And I've got all this stuff about me that I have guilt and shame, and God says, I know about all that already. Just give it to me. Receive my love and forgiveness. And the wonderful thing about that is when you realize that, it allows you to just be you. To not put on any airs, to try to be accepted. because you can't earn acceptance from him. And understanding that God loves us enough, not only where we are, but he loves us so much that he will help us to have a new kind of life, that he'll set up life within us that starts working its way out and will be a new creation. You know, that sounds pretty good to me, that I can bring complete honesty of all my sin and all my shame to him, knowing I have his promise that he's going to forgive all of it and love me anyway. You know, I think about that offer. That's hard for me to respond with anything but a yes. When I understand that, yes, God, that's what I want. When you do that, when you give Christ that yes, here's what it does in your heart. Or if you do know Christ, and it's just been head knowledge for you, but hasn't really touched your heart, when you start living in this relationship with him over time, remember we talked earlier about rejection and what a motivator that is for us? As you live out a relationship with God over time, you just experience his love and his forgiveness day after day after day, and you stop being afraid. You start realizing, sometimes I screw up, and he keeps forgiving me. And I fall flat on my face, and he keeps forgiving me. And I keep dragging my feet when I know he wants me to do this, and I'm doing that. And he keeps loving me and forgiving me, and it makes you free. You're not afraid anymore of rejection from him. It lets you understand that you can be honest and be yourself. Continuing in 1 John 4 and verse 11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. One of the cool things about being saved and receiving this unconditional love of God is that it frees you up to begin to accept people and not reject them no matter who they are. See, God accepts us based on who he is, not who we are. He accepts us based on his capacity to love sinners. And he starts doing that in us, giving us the capacity to love people that has nothing to do with them. Doesn't matter what they've done. Doesn't matter who they are. It's because there's so much of the love of Christ in us that we're able to love them and we can accept them. I can love people the way that God loves them. Continuing in verse 12, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Verse 13, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on or believe in the love God has for us. We rely on this love that God has for us. And how simple did God just make that? If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them. Jesus called this the new birth, spiritual life, the Holy Spirit coming and setting up residence living in us. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them. So what does acknowledge mean? Does it mean we just have information about Jesus? Oh yeah, he's the Son of God and he came here and he's got power and authority and he went, no. The demons know all that stuff, right? And they're not saved. It's not just knowing who he is. It's personally understanding and receiving the truth that we read that God sent his Son to be a sacrifice for my sins personally and for your sins. That God sent him as an atoning sacrifice, and recognizing in our hearts and responding to God with our hearts, not just our minds, you know, saying, Jesus, you are the Son of God. And I know that the Father sent you to pay for my sins. And because of that, and only because of that, I am forgiven. And I am free and I have life in you. We have to understand there's no earning it. There's no way we can be good enough. It's just something you receive. It's a gift of grace from God. We're just saying, God, I'm trusting you. I'm depending on you. My confidence is in you and who you are and what you've done for me to save me. Acknowledging that Jesus is not only the Savior of the world, but Jesus is my Savior. And the moment that we say, God, I put all of my hope in you. All of my trust is in you and what you've done for me. When we do that, this spiritual event happens and God comes to live inside of us. Continuing in verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. Verse 18. There is no fear in love. There is no fear of love in love. So how much fear is there in love? Nada. Zero. There is absolutely no fear in love, including fear of being rejected by God. You don't have to fear that you're not going to be good enough for Him. You don't have to fear that you failed too many times in the past. You don't have to fear that you've not been religious enough. When we just live in God's love for us, when we just open our heart daily to His love for us, when we run toward His love for us, there is no fear because the relationship is all Him. It's His love. It's His initiative. It's His work of this amazing, strong God that nothing can separate us. There's nothing that I'm going to do to bring myself into relationship with Him. And He holds me in that relationship. But perfect love drives out fear. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. You know, God knows that you've sinned today. He does. He knows I've sinned today. And whatever sins are in your life, you know, I mean, we don't want to feel good about it. So hopefully you're ashamed of whatever sin in your life. But Christ took all of it upon Himself. And He's not rejecting you for it. You are free and you are accepted if you know Christ. You are free to belong to God. You are free to receive His love. You are free to be prized by Him and connected with Him, not only in this life, but forever. And I think about human relationships that I've had, and you know, you guys have, I'm sure, had a lot of relationships that aren't still ongoing now that you've had in the past, and sometimes it can be because someone died, someone passed that you had a relationship with, but it can be maybe you did something. Maybe you did something wrong and it upset this person, or maybe they did something. Maybe there was some sin or some rejection or some abandonment or some selfishness or whatever it was. It was unforgiveness and the relationship can't go on anymore. And that is so not like the relationship we have with God. And we need to not mix that up and try to interpret our relationship with God in light of our human relationships. God is not like that. You can't screw up and have Him say, well, I'm sorry, but that's number 499. We're done. I'm moving on. I'm going to go love somebody else. That's not God. You are loved so much by Him. And I think sometimes we have a hard time believing that because some of us don't love ourselves. You know, some of us maybe even hate ourselves. And so when you try to understand God loving you, that's hard to get. But you need to understand something, that that's your feelings, and facts are more important than your feelings. And the fact is that the Son of God came to earth, chose to go to a cross. He chose out of love for you to take all his sins upon himself, to be nailed there, to pay with his blood for your sins. Why would he do that for you? He did that for each one of us. Why? Why did he allow himself to hang there unless it's true? Unless his word is true. John 3:16 and 17. God so loved the world. You can put your name in there for world. God so loved you that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save you through him. I think that part of God's purpose in bringing us here tonight, along with teaching and worshiping and fellowshipping and a lot of other good things, is an invitation, a reminder, again, that the heart of his invitation for us is to open our hearts to him. It's not about just what's in your head. It's not about just the stuff you're doing, your religious activities. It's not just about whatever cool resources you're reading or ministries that you serve in. It's about taking time for your heart and his heart to really be tethered together and to just receive his love for you, receive his forgiveness and his grace for you. So I want to invite each of us to do that tonight. You know, maybe you've never really done that before. Maybe you've been in church for a long time and you've never taken time to really just give your heart to him. And if you want to do that tonight, I would definitely encourage you to do that. Because here's the option, that if it's always been head knowledge to you and you've never just laid bare your heart honestly for God of your need for him and receive that forgiveness, that you can continue to say no to him and keep him at arm's length, but that no is going to continue on into eternity until if you don't say yes in this life. So you need to do that. You know, God is drawing all of us all the time. He's inviting us to draw near to him and to talk to him. And so, you know, again, maybe you're here tonight and you know Christ, but you felt separated from him lately. You felt kind of dry in some way. And you're thinking, you know, I know he saved me from hell. And I know my name is in that great book that I'm going to get in when I get to the gates, and it's going to be good. But God wants more for you now. He wants to love you now and for you to experience his heart for you. And so if you're not experiencing that, I just want to invite you, he wants to invite you tonight, to have a fresh start in your love for him, in your relationship. 1 John 5:12 says, whoever has the Son has life. That's so simple. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's the offer from Jesus for everyone. Love and life. And he's inviting you to just bring all of your imperfections, all of your sin, all of your guilt and shame to him, and for him to just give you grace. We've got a music video we're going to play, and I just want to encourage you to let these words kind of wash over you and maybe be a prayer out of your heart, but just to experience these lyrics. It's called I Am Loved. And just know that this is God's heart for you. That it's not about you being good enough. It's not about you being religious enough. It's about you being in this beautiful relationship with your Savior.
Nothing I do.